This is the August 12 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's review the numbers first as they were released from the United States Department of Agriculture. The carry-in for old crop corn, now 1.53 billion bushels. Looking forward to the new crop, USDA released 175.4 bushels of the acre corn crop. That's down from the 177. What was the trend yield at the time? A carryout for the fall of next year at 1.388 billion bushels. They did drop the season's average cash price still to $6.65, down just a nickel. Soybeans were also lowered to $14.35. However, the crop size there went up, a yield of 51.9 bushels to the acre. That's up from the 51.5 bushel trend yield average that they've been working with ever since earlier in the year. The carry-in from this year, just 225 million bushels, and by the time next fall rolls around, USDA expects there will be 245 million bushels of soybeans left in the bin. Wheat carry out at 660 million from the old crop. That won't change anymore. 47.5 bushels to the acre is the yield for the winter wheat crop, and production at 1.783 billion in total, with a carry out of 610 million bushels into the end of the next year for a season's average cash price at $9.25. Dale Durkles joined us to talk about these reports. I asked him what his first blush of the numbers felt like this morning.
You know, the first thing I came across when I looked at the range of numbers here today, just the major ones, was for once we had a ho-hum August report, to be honest. I know the markets broke after it, but I think that's just tied to the fact that there wasn't anything bullish in any of this at all, albeit I don't see anything really wildly bearish either.
Were you okay with the soybean number going up this month?
You know, I stretch a little bit, but to be honest, you know, when you're on end of July, first of August, trying to forecast a bean crop, it's always nigh on impossible to really understand what's there. And amid this, we also have to remember beans, corn too, for that matter. This is purely just a farmer's survey. There's no actual hard data that goes into any of this. And so they use the farmer's survey plus some of the other satellite tools that are available to them to make adjustments if necessary. So anymore, I don't really view the August production report as being all that important, because I think the September has a lot more importance because of the data accumulated for it.
Soybean crop, by the way, was up 0.4 of a bushel from 51.5 bushel to the acre, which was the expectation, to 51.9, which is what the farmer survey, as Dale Durkles just told us, showed, with some adjustments, of course, from USDA as it relates to satellites and other things. They also dropped the cash price only by a nickel. Do you suppose that is enough? Down to $14.35.
Again, where we're at the beginning of the year and early on new crop, that's pretty much a model-driven number at this juncture in time. That's really tied back to looking at the S&D numbers themselves to really come up with that crop forecast. And we don't have any real hard data, which they collect at the end of every month in the Ag Prices Survey. So, you know, making a minor adjustment, especially given that there weren't any big changes in any of the supply-demand, I guess I'm not surprised at that.
They raised the coming year exports by 20 million bushels. Does that mean very much to the marketplace?
I really don't think so, because that's kind of a fudge factor at this point. You know, we're going to have to see where we're at once we start to get into new crop. But I think, you know, when I look at new crop exports, I really kind of tie that, you know, what kind of crop do we ultimately have coming out of South America in the coming year, and the assurances of having whatever crop size it is that'll really start to have some impact on what those export forecasts might be. And, you know, we're probably 2 to 3 months away. We can start talking about crop size in South America for the coming year.
Speaking of that South American crop, how big do we expect it to be at this time?
Take a dart and throw it at a dartboard. You know, to be honest, when you look at the bean crop in South America, you know, and this last year we had a crop, you know, there in the in Brazil in particular, 126 million tons. Some people at 124, and some at 125. At this point, you know, there's been talk about a 1 to 2% increase in acreage, and certainly after having some weather issues the last couple of years, you know, I would expect yield numbers to be a little bit better this year. Part of it's going to depend, again, you know, how timely do we put the crop in the ground as we get towards the end of the calendar year. But a big crop, you know, and 149 million ton crop, to put it in perspective, that's getting up towards somewhere about 5.4, 5.5 billion bushels. So we're talking about a big crop. I think when you look at South America, actually, and they didn't make any change on Argentina, they left it at 51 million tons as well. I think there are bigger concerns about what's going to happen down in Argentina this year because of all the economic problems that seem to be cropping up at this juncture.
Soybeans is one of those crops that farmers generally will sell more bushels across the scale. They'll sell them earlier than they will corn bushels. Does the South American crop being larger in size, and the U.S. crop, at least at this point, also being larger in size, tell you that that's probably what they ought to do?
Well, when I look at everything from a cyclic perspective, and right now, you know, it looks like the low we had back at the end of March, I think it was a two-year low. The three-year low in beans comes out there somewhere around April 2023, so I'm inclined to be a bigger seller in here as we go through the fall and on into the early part of winter, rather than wanting to hold on to them at a later time because of where those cyclic lows are destined to land.
What are your cycles telling you about the corn market?
Well, the corn market at this juncture, the low we had here back 2-3 weeks ago now looks like a 40-week low. I still see a two-year low in the offing somewhere here in the fall months themselves lying ahead of it at this point in time. But to be honest, when we sit here and look today, well, December corn trading at 6:30, you know, what kind of downside risk do I have? You know, when we look at the low we had in here a couple of weeks ago, we got down to about 5.60, and I think anywhere from 5.50 to $5 is really the downside risk in December as we go off into the fall months, and we can't really pinpoint it real well yet because we got to see what kind of strengths we have on this recovery rebound we've had from the lows back about 2 weeks ago before we can start talking about more specific downside targets. But I think somewhere between 5 and 5.50 for the low, that'll be the two-year low, also the harvest low.
Now, USDA has average cash price for corn for this season at $6.65, again for soybeans at $14.35. That must mean there's some higher numbers yet to come in this marketplace, in their opinion.
Well, in their opinion, probably so. And you know, when I look at the cyclic nature of things, you know, once we get a follow out of the way in corn, we'll probably see some strength coming off into the winter months themselves there. So I see markets rebounding. And when I look at where we're at here at this point, you know, at roughly 6:30 December corn today, and you know, honestly, we got to remember we traded up to 7.5, and as we get into those average prices paid to farmers right now, they're kind of estimating how much might have been priced on the rallies this spring, but those pre-harvest sales that were made back in the spring also factor into this mix looking ahead too. So if farmers sold pretty heavily, and they'll get some kind of an idea how aggressive that might have been once we see bushels go over the scales this fall and into the pipeline. You know, you can't argue with the numbers they got in place today.
That's Dale Durkles with Grain Cycles. We're now joined by Jackie Vake. She's with TotalFarmMarketing.com. Jackie, thank you for being with us. I'd like you to focus to begin with on the re-interview process, the acreage numbers updated from the June 30th report for South Dakota, North Dakota, and Minnesota. What did you find in them?
In Minnesota, Todd, on corn, they went down by 100,000 acres, but North Dakota and South Dakota didn't have any change at all. On beans, we saw Minnesota no change at all, and in North Dakota, we lost 200,000 acres. South Dakota lost 100,000 acres. And so, you know, when you looked at the bigger picture, you know, we saw the corn yields come in at 175.4, and they lowered both the planted and the harvested acres by 100,000. So I would say that 100,000 came out of Minnesota as a prevented plant because there's no impact on production at all. And on beans, even though we saw 51.9 for a yield, which was higher than anybody expected, 300,000 acres also came out of planted and out of harvested. And that is exactly what we lost in North Dakota and South Dakota. So I would assume, from my perspective, that those acres aren't planted at all, because they just didn't have any kind of impact on the market. But I think everybody was maybe a little bit surprised by them, thinking that we might have seen a bigger number in beans, or not quite as big a loss in beans, perhaps. But this is the way it is. This is what was reported.
What do you think of the bean yield, by the way?
The bean yield at 51.9, well, I guess, you know, it's one of those situations where when you look at the August report, you have to take into account that August is a July report, right? August is when beans are made. So I'm not totally surprised by it. I think that we have to expect that this next report, when we have guys out on the ground running around looking at what's going on and doing those types of things, we'll have a more accurate number. But I wasn't totally surprised. The market certainly was, and I'd have to characterize this, Todd, as a 5-minute report. We saw a real push down, just nasty push down in both corn and beans right out the gate. And that so often happens when the market doesn't see what it wants to see or what they expect, and then just like that, turn itself around and come back. And that's what we saw here today. So I think that we'll be back to trading a whole lot more weather as we move forward. The fact that corn ending stocks went down, but price didn't change at all. You know, we saw a softening on the export side of things, a little softening on the feed side. Not a big surprise on the feed side. I mean, prices are high. They're going to find alternative feeds. And they left ethanol the same. So I thought that was all right. You know, so that was a pretty neutral situation for corn. When you look at beans, maybe slightly negative, not terribly negative. They did raise exports by 20 million bushels, but we still saw an additional 15 million come into the carryout, and that's primarily because we had a higher carry in coming into this report. And so wheat is the one that's got me totally confused. The only thing I can figure out is that they expect more competition from the rest of the world, because we saw the carryout go down to 610 million from 639, but they dropped the average farm gate price from 1050 to 9.25. So I would say that, and I mean, it went down at the world level also. So it just says to me that at this point in time, they're saying, well, we think that there'll be more exporting going on, and we're not a wheat exporting country. Let's just, we know that. That's a fact.
So that has to do with Ukraine or other places. By the way, what did Ukraine numbers look like from USDA in the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate?
I like that you asked that question, because I think most of us are shaking our heads. They raised the Ukraine corn production by 5 million metric tons, from 25 to 30 million metric tons. Perhaps optimistic, perhaps they have more information than any of us can guess. I have no idea, but I think that was another thing that was a shock to the market. We didn't expect to see that happen. I expected it might stay the same, but it didn't. And so we always have next month to see if there's going to be any changes made there. But, when you look at the big picture, the European weather situation is still very serious. The South American, we know that they came out today and said that China is going to buy more corn from Brazil. And yet we also know that La Nina hasn't left down there, and their weather situation is not great. They don't produce nearly as much corn as we do. So there's a lot of things in flux right now, Todd, I'll tell you. And all this report does for us is just give us a picture in time. It's like anything else.
Speaking of that picture, were there some details by state or otherwise that you found of interest?
One of the things I found interesting, Todd, is they like to report the top five states by production. And on this report, we saw Iowa yield at 205 unchanged, Illinois at 203, that was up 0.5%. Nebraska, the wild card in this whole game at 181, that was down 6.7%. Minnesota, 193, up 8.4%. And Indiana at 189, and that was down 3.1%. So a lot of movement going on here, but I still think one of the wild cards is Nebraska. And that's going to be the dry land and what happens with the dry land out there and whether or not we actually get something. I talked to one of our big guys today. He told me that they have probably 2 to 3 days to get rain on their dry land. Otherwise, it's going to be silage, and some of it won't even make silage. For the last 5 years, they've averaged 150 bushel to the acre on their dry land. That's pretty serious, you know, and I've been sitting in the chair long enough to know that the years that we've put in records when it comes to corn production, a lot of that was supported by dry land yield. And so that's significant changes. When you look at beans, Illinois, the yield went up by 3.1% to 66. Iowa, down by 6.5, down to 58. That one surprised me a little bit. Minnesota, up by 6.4, up to 50. Indiana, by 0.8% up to 60. And Nebraska, down 12.7% to 55. And so those numbers are interesting, to say the very least.
Did today's report change anything dramatically enough in your mind to move the marketing plans for producers?
No, not really. I guess one of the things that I was looking for was to see what they were going to say about the China corn and bean imports, and they left them the same. So I think when you look at producers, we have to recognize as we head toward 23, and I've been trying to talk with guys about doing something. You have to be looking at your basis and what's happening out there. You have to be considering all of the things that exist right now, such as the Ukrainian war, you know, the La Nina in South America, the weather in Europe. All of those things are what are driving price at the moment. But the question is, will they continue to be able to support those prices out into 23? So when we have opportunities, you know, and if you look at these 23, it hit 679 and a quarter already at one point in time. There's been opportunity there. So, you know, if we can get above $6, just be looking for opportunities and taking advantage of them, whether it's getting a put in place, whatever it might take. But we can't just assume that we're going to see the same kind of prices as we head into 23 next year.
That was Jackie Vick. She's with TotalFarmMarketing.com. Sherman Newland is now here. He's with Risk Management Commodities. Hi, Sherman. Thank you for being with us. You're in Hudsonville, Illinois. That's near Terre Haute or thereabouts on the Illinois side of the river, roughly speaking. First, what do you think of the report? We don't have to spend too much time on that. And then tell me about the crops in your area.
Right. The report I thought was not, you know, too exciting. I mean, nothing outstanding there. I mean, the corn crop came in a little bit less than trade was thinking, I mean, from the last month. But the bean crop was a little bit higher. I think some are maybe kind of scratching their head on that one a little bit, how you come up with such a good big bean yield. But, you know, the market reaction is going to be what matters at the end of the day. And, you know, currently corn has reversed and we're up 6 cents and beans are 30 cents off their low. So overall, more or less a neutral report. I mean, the carryouts were bumped up a little bit here and there. And, you know, so I think the interesting thing was the EU number was dropped. And I think that's what's given the corn number some good support there. I mean, they dropped that 8 million metric tons, I believe, you know, and then so that's given the corn market support. They did raise the Russian crop, you know, 6.5 million metric ton on wheat, and raise the Aussie crop 3 million metric ton on wheat as well. So that's a little bit negative to the wheat market here at the moment. But, you know, I think going forward, we're going to now watch the weather and see how exports go. And then, you know, we'll be having some crop tours going on here in a couple of weeks and see what some of those numbers say.
And if we were touring your farm, what would we see?
We've been pretty lucky. In June, we were really, really dry. I was really getting worried. I was thinking, boy, this is 2012 all over again. But then we caught some rain, some bigger rains than they were expecting or forecasting for. And things have really turned around. And we're looking at a really good bean crop. I think my bean crop may be one of the best ones we've had for quite a while. Corn is going to be good. I've been out in some fields. Some of our fields look tremendous, and others just look okay, you know. So overall, I think the corn crop's going to be good. I don't think it's going to beat last year. And I'm hearing that from other producers, you know, around the next three or four counties around us, kind of the same thing, whether it was too dry in the June time frame that hurt it, or some of these areas that had too much rain. You know, Jasper County, next county over, had like 10 or 12 inches here a while back, and those kind of rains don't help anything.
Since, oh, I don't know, December, most have been saying, oh, 30% to 40% be sold corn, soybeans, roughly speaking. I don't know whether farmers have gotten that far along, but let's go with those numbers. What do they do today, given that kind of background?
You know, getting the numbers here out of the way, and the market, you know, not crashing. I think it depends on where you're at in your area, whether you have a crop. I know some areas have less, you know, production looking that they're looking at. So, you know, that's would treat that a little bit different. If you're in an area where you've been blessed and you got a good looking crop, with beans especially, I think I would, you know, move some more forward sales in this into the beans, probably more so than corn. I mean, corn to me has a chance to get to the 650, maybe a little bit higher than that, 680 level. You know, if the yields would drop some more, beans to me in this 1460 to maybe $15 zone. And if you're looking, you know, if you're undersold on beans, I would be pushing some bean sales up in through here. I'd like to be in that 50% or higher range by the time we get to harvest.
What do you do with the crop that you can't store? Over the 50%, that is.
If you can't store it at home, I mean, yeah, the stuff you have to take across the scales, I think you want to, you know, be heavily more forward contracted, in my opinion. If not, we can you can pay storage on it, and then buy puts on that crop. But I don't know. It sometimes it pays to store, sometimes it doesn't. But I would use this a rally in through here in the next few weeks if we can continue higher, you know, just to go ahead and forward contract those bushels.
Have you thought, like some have been suggesting, about 2023, and at least covering some expenses, especially for corn as it's related to nitrogen?
Yes. Ammonia looks like it's going to be very pricey. Probably one of the most expensive forms of nitrogen for this fall and next spring, from what I'm hearing and seeing. But right now, UAN seems to be fairly priced. I would be looking at booking some UAN. Dry fertilizer seems to be down some from this spring. I don't know if you can get a price on any right at the moment. But from what I hear anyway, they don't seem to think dry fertilizer may be going to push up quite like the ammonia prices are going to.
Sherman Newland is with Risk Management Commodities. He, along with Dale Durkles of Grain Cycles and Jackie Vakes of Total Farm Marketing, joined us for our August 12 USDA report edition of Commodity Week. You can find it online and listen to it on demand anytime you'd like at willag.org, willag.org. You have a good weekend. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.